Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, Jermaine Johnson? Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Patriots week, no better person to have on. Mark Schofield, SB Nation, anything Pats, quarterbacks, best person to talk to. Mark, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well, Will. Great to be back with you. We were just talking, your brother plays at Amherst, who plays Wesleyan University. So it's a game near and dear to both of our hearts. That's going to be a big one. out in Western Massachusetts this weekend, but excited to be here because we got a big game to talk about. Obviously, Jets Pats. A little bit different circumstances than I think many thought we would see coming into this game, but it's going to make it all the more excited. So I'm excited to dive in, buddy.
I know. I Mike Giardi played at Trinity, got to talk shit to me all weekend. You know, my brother's team lost, so I'm hoping I don't have the same situation happen. So no pressure, Charlie, if you listen to this before tomorrow morning. but obviously, look, Jets 5-2, 12 in a row, 20 of the last 22, all of those being, none of those even being in regulars, you know, they're not winning. And the Jets haven't beaten the Patriots in a non-overtime game and since that playoff game. So everyone can, that's one part. It's New York, Boston, Jets, Patriots. Yep. That's another part. And then there's last year, which, what was it, 75-19 or 79-19, whatever it was in total. Obviously, Zach Wilson hit, Belichick running it up. There's a million different angles here. So we'll tackle all that. But I want to start with the quarterbacks first, and I want to talk, and we can talk more like broader scope and what we think is going to happen. Let's start with Mac Jones, because the Patriots quarterback situation, as everyone knows, has been felt like Mac Jones, the guy going forward, you know, obviously had a much stronger first half than second half last year, but you know, was a Pro Bowler and showed some signs last year as the best of the class. Starts off the year, doesn't look good, frankly. The Ravens game's a mess, then gets hurt. They play the Lions and Browns, who aren't very good. They beat them, Bailey Zappe. Oh, this is exciting. I'm just kind of recapping here. Mac Jones comes back. Probably could have sat him last week. Probably would have been what I would have done and then just started him against the Jets, but whatever. They start him, plays two or three drives, throws a pick, and then gets benched. Patriots get smoked. Now Mac's a starter again. I guess two questions. One, what the hell is going on? And B, why did this is very un-Belichick. It feels like being indecisive, unless this has been the plan. But even we go back 20 years with Brady and Bledsoe, the whole time Brady was never coming out. You know what I mean? Like he felt like he was decisive then. This is weird. Kind of going into this game.
Yeah. I mean, first question, what the hell is going on? Well, I have absolutely no idea. It has been a very strange offseason training camp start to the season in New England. I mean, you had all the offensive changes, different offensive emphasis, outside zone, wide zone, all that stuff. All the questions about who's calling plays, Matt Patricia, Joe Judge. Are these really the two best options to call plays for a second-year quarterback and to put a second-year quarterback in Mac Jones, who, like you said, at times last year looked like, okay, he's the guy. But the question with Mac Jones was always, all right, wasn't last year the Mac Jones argument sort of in a nutshell, which was he's NFL ready, he's pro ready, he'll come in, he'll take care of the football, he's not going to make a ton of mistakes. I had so many people, you know, with other teams, even in New England, say, yeah, let's see what it's like in 3 years, right? Like, but, and here we are in year two, and it hasn't been great. Like you mentioned that Baltimore game, and for like two plus quarters in that game, you were like, all right, it's starting to click, right? Like he's making some good throws. He's challenging some tighter windows. And then the wheels fell off because he threw two picks, two pretty disastrous picks, one in the end zone. And then he gets hurt on the final pick, you know, final play of the game, you know, with a high ankle sprain. And now, whether it was indecisiveness, whether it was the plan, I mean, it seemed like this was the plan, right? Because, you know, right before that game kicked off, Adam Schefter tweets out, don't be surprised if both quarterbacks play. That had to come from somewhere. And so clearly there was an idea that, like, we're going to play both of these guys. Maybe the thought process was we want Mac to get a drive or two in just to test out that high ankle sprain to see where it goes. And then we're going to make the switch to Zappe at some point. And again, he throws a pick. Wheels seem to be coming off. So they make the switch. They get down early. You get a little bit of energy with Zappe coming into the game, and then Chicago blows them out. So where do we go from here? You know, they've named him the starter, obviously, for this Jets game. But does Belichick have a hook? Does he have a quick hook? Does, you know, if he goes, you know, 0-for-3 on his first two possessions and throws a pick, do we see Bailey Zappe? Or is Jones just going to be the guy going forward? That's the thing I'm most curious about, Will, is how they handle it now. What's done is done. Like, it seems very un-Belichick-like to not be decisive, to sort of be wavering on things. But does that continue? Or do they just say, look, we're swimming or sinking with Mac Jones now? That's what I'm curious to see.
Yeah, look, I think obviously everyone's favorite player, and the Jets almost kind of went through this a little bit the last 2 years, but everyone's favorite player, every fan's favorite player is the backup quarterback. Everyone knows this. I know it's a stupid saying, but it happens every year, and it's the same thing. I get all that. I watch me and you both watch Bailey Zappe in person at the Senior Bowl. Without being harsh, I was not very impressed. Again, I wasn't very impressed with a lot of this class, so it's not really that – it's not really a crazy statement to make. Again, I think he's a guy that has potential to be a nice backup in this league. I think if you're the Patriots, you did take Mac Jones in the first round. Yes, you play the best guy to give you a chance to win and all that stuff, but this is such a crucial three games. And I just, as much as Mac gets a lot of flack, and I'm sure I've given him enough myself, there's no way you go into a stretch where you probably have to win at least 2 out of 3 of Jets, Colts, Jets, or, you know, for the Jets' sake, vice versa, obviously. You have to go in with Mac in these games, and he can't turn the football over. That's the biggest thing to me. That's a huge problem right now. And I guess, you know, obviously it's ballooned by one game, you know, obviously, you know, the 3-interception game, that's this stuff's going to happen, but 2 touchdowns, 6 interceptions in 3.5 starts is just not going to cut it. And it's kind of the antics with Mac that is starting, I think, nationally get people like the sliding and kicking people. Yep. It's like, last year, the Brian Burns thing was obvious, and I get it. People wanted to kind of give him a break. He's a rookie, whatever. You know, he's playing hard. I didn't really see it that way, but again, it's one incident. You let it go. This can't keep being a thing because you turn to Grayson Allen and you already play for the Patriots, so you're already going to get that.
It's like pretty big strikes against you.
Right, Grayson Allen tripping people on Duke is different than Grayson Allen on, you know, on Clemson or basketball, whatever, where people don't care. Why do you think Mac's been like so turnover prone? Is it just that he's trying to be something he's not, or is it it's just, you know, unfortunate picks kind of happen in the NFL?
I look at the Baltimore game, and I think in the first, like I said, 2.5 quarters of that game or so, he's really started to click with Devontae Parker. And that's been like the one shining spotlight of this passing game so far is Jones and Parker seem to have sort of gotten on the same page relatively quickly, which is going to be huge for this offense at some point. You know, last year it was Mac Jones and Hunter Henry. Now he's got both Henry and Devontae Parker, who he trusts. But in that Baltimore game, he was feeding Parker and they were clicking back shoulder throws, whole shots. And it's like, he looked to him one too many times. Like he's got him on a dig. Patrick Queen's right in the throwing lane, throws a pick. And then that end zone interception, it seemed like for whatever reason, he locked onto Devontae pre-snap. Was like, this is where I'm going with the football, and threw it anyway. So I think that's part of it. I also think that, look, a lot of the questions and criticism and concern about Mac Jones, even into this season before it began, was, all right, yeah, like we sort of talked about, last year was nice, but can he take that next step? And one of the things he has to do is throw more velocity, challenge him tighter throwing windows, push the ball downfield a little bit. And it might be like you sort of alluded to, him trying to do something that he's not quite there yet. You know, he doesn't have the arm that certainly Josh Allen has or some of the other elite quarterbacks. He doesn't have Mac Wilson's arm. And so him trying to challenge tighter windows, he's got to be ahead with everything so much with his mind right now. And if he isn't, that leads to mistakes. That leads to interception. And so I think, you know, forcing some throws to Parker is one thing. Trying to push the ball downfield is another. And so you're getting these things coming together. You see the interceptions. You see the turnovers. And, you know, to flip it to Bailey Zappe for a second, you know, I know he had some turnovers Monday night, but that was one of the pro-Zappe arguments. It was like you said, he's going to be a good backup spot starter. He's accurate. He makes good decisions. He's not going to turn the football over. Belichick, the Patriots as an organization, have placed a premium on not making mistakes with the football, especially when you've got a defense that, Monday night aside, can get after the quarterback, can do some things, can get you some short fields. Turnovers are not what you want to see, and you got one quarterback that's turning the ball over at a pretty high rate. It leads to some questions.
So let's, I guess we kind of cover the Patriots side. Let's flip to the Jets side. Another guy, obviously, in the class. These two are going to be pitted against each other forever because they're in the same division. They were playing for rivals, same class, whole nine yards. They're pretty polar opposite in terms of personality, in terms of appearance, in terms of background, like everything's different. Zach's season's been really weird. I feel like I've said this before, you go through the Pittsburgh game, you saw the highs and lows of Zach. You could, kind of looking back at it, like, you know, his first interception, which looked awful, Elijah Moore quit on the route, you know, it's a stupid throw, but again, solid. The reasoning was like, we want to lap them, so dumb, but I get it. A dropped interception, first game back in, you know, 7 weeks, whatever. But the fourth quarter was incredible. Like, that's all you want. 10 to 12, yep. 150 yards, two touchdowns, basically game-winning drives in Heinz Field. And, you know, for the Jets, it's been a house of horrors, which is most places have. I thought the Miami game was kind of the blueprint of what you're going to see this year. A lot of getting ball to the backs, deep outs, some tight end stuff, RPO stuff looked good. I mean, guy gets tackled at the 1 yard line twice. Like, I'm not going to worry about the touchdowns in that game.
Right.
Green Bay game and the Denver game, they kind of went with the identity of, we're just going to keep punching in the mouth over and over and over again. And I want to caveat with, I understand it's really impressive that Zach's been able to kind of elude and get out of a lot of sacks. This is not hating on him for that part of it. It's obviously been a huge addition to them in all four games they started. But Joe Flacco, it's a statue. Any type of blitzing, you're done. But the clean pocket versus pressured numbers are the craziest thing I've ever seen. I'm only 28 years old. I've never seen anything like this. And B, it feels like he's looking in the right spot and knows what to do with the football and has all the talent in the world. But the footwork and his base and the bailing out of clean pockets at times is getting really frustrating regardless of opponent. Am I being too harsh here? Because I still like Zach. I believe in him. But there's some things that are starting to bother me a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, I wrote about Zach this week because obviously he's been a huge topic of discussion. And what I thought was really interesting was, and I particularly focused on the first three games because, you know, I think Denver was a little different because he was getting pressured a lot. And there were some moments where he had to bail quickly. But those first three games that I looked at, what really sort of stood out to me was, yes, there are moments where he's got a clean pocket and an opportunity to throw the football and he doesn't, and it doesn't come out right away. And then he ends up getting pressured as a result. So he's sort of creating pressure, but his eyes were right. And for me to see that makes me think that this is going to get worked out, that he's going to fix this. Because, like, for example, against Miami, he had a moment where they're down in the red zone. They've got like a spot concept to the right. They drop to cover two. So he's looking at the corner route first to the right side and it's covered. So he's like, all right, I get up, get your eyes to the middle of the field. He's got more on a post and it's there. And he waits and he takes that extra sort of half second to full second to sort of see it. Then you get pressure off the edge. He has to climb. Moore runs out of real estate. The throw is late and he can't complete it. So his eyes are right. And for me, seeing a young quarterback, that's half the battle right there. Because a lot of young quarterbacks, the eyes are slow. The eyes are late. The eyes aren't getting where they need to be. He seems to be getting his eyes to where they need to be for the most part. It's just that next step. Like, step one, get your eyes right. He's got that. Step two, then get the ball out. That's where the disconnect is. He's just going to sort of trust your arm, man. Like, you're an extremely talented quarterback. And so I think I also got to remember, that was his 17th start. So he's just sort of finishing his rookie season. Now he's sort of into year two. It takes time for young quarterbacks. It takes time. So I think he's eventually going to get there. They're working through some things right now. He's working through some things right now. And he's coming off sort of a knee injury, which could be part of it. Like you mentioned the footwork and things like that. That is something he has to clean up. It's something he went through last year. I remember against Denver, he was ahead of things so much with his feet that it just wasn't clicking for him. He came back and sort of tightened that up a little bit. So he got better as the season went along. Maybe we something similar. You mentioned the pressure versus a clean pocket stuff. And those numbers are just like, he was what, a 1.7 yards per attempt when pressure this year.
He's like 53 of 7. This is off the top of my head, so nobody tag me and mention me that I'm an idiot. I think it's like 53 of 70 for like 640 and a touchdown, 9.5 yards an attempt, or 9.1. And then under pressure, and some of the pressure is self-induced and some of it's free rushers and things. It's like 5 of 31 for like 64 yards and two picks. And,
yards per attempt of 1.7 and adjusted completion percentage. I just pulled it up. Your numbers are right, by the way. Good job.
Wow, thank you.
But PFF's adjusted completion percentage of 31.6 when pressured, which is 38th out of 38 qualified passers, and just behind Mac Jones. So we could see some ugly quarterback play on Sunday when these guys get pressured, because neither of these guys are extremely good at facing it right now. But I think Wilson will get there.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th. Only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Got your happy price, Priceline.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Has been impressive moments, because like you said, the athleticism to get out of some of these pressure situations, because yes, there are some moments where he invites it or creates it, but there are others where he's got a free runner at him. And if you can get away from that, which he's shown at times, that's a good club to have in the bag for an offense and for a young quarterback. So I think he'll get there. It's just, this is what he's working through right now. Step one, get your eyes right. He's got that. Step two, get the ball out when you need to. That's what I want to see from him going forward.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. You made a good point there. The free rusher thing, a lot of times Zach makes that guy miss, and it's impressive, and that's the stuff you love to see. My issue is, instead of – it's like it almost feels like – I'm trying to think the best way to explain this. He'll make a guy miss, and then he'll feel like he needs to make – like he almost starts feeling like there's too many guys around him when they're not there yet, and then he'll start spinning, and like it's – he's done a great job taking care of the football. I know he's got a couple of throws that, you know, probably could have got intercepted, but, and you know, he's had some, you know, one that shouldn't have been intercepted. So he's only got three picks in his last like 9 starts or 10 starts, whatever it is. That's great. That's really awesome. It's good for this team. It's kept him in a lot of games. He's getting close to being a 500 quarterback, which is pretty impressive through your first 17 Jet starts. But it's the play like happened on Sunday. That was a bad call. I think any Jets fan would admit that was probably a fumble. And that was a huge changing point in the game, because, you know, 7-7 there, 14-7 is a lot different than punting.
Yeah.
With the way your defense is playing. spinning once is great, but then either get down or like you got to eat it because you can't, that stuff can't happen. I think the biggest issue, at least for me, it feels like, you know, in the first five plays if Zach's got it or not that day. And that's, to me, has got it. That's got to be, that's got to start, like, stop happening. Like the Jets second half adjustments, it's very un-Jets like, but the staff is really good at second half adjustments, running game, passing game. It feels like on the, you know, everything is a plan, which it's nice. They kind of set a lot of stuff up in the first half and try to, you know, I don't know how the best way to explain it. They kind of try to set a lot of things up for the second half, which is good. And defensively, they've done the same thing. But the first 15 plays haven't been great for this team all year. And it feels like that's one area where I'd love to see them kind of take a next step. And it kind of comes down to Zach and a lot of other guys. You know, Garrett Wilson needs to start running the sticks consistently because he's so goddamn good. It's just, or whatever, you know, little things, holdings and all that stuff. But when Zach comes out and he like airmails three in a row because he's too hyped up or misses an easy target in the Green Bay game, and then it's kind of all starts to spiral. That's the thing, I think, as a young quarterback. You can see the Tampa Bay game is obviously the pinnacle game, but he got settled in really early and he was fine. Like, got to keep happening. The Eagles game was probably his best half he's ever played. The second half, he barely had the ball, so we kind of saw a lot of trash. But out of curiosity, obviously kind of outside looking in, was the Elijah Moore thing confusing for you? Were you not surprised? How'd you kind of take that? Because I know Jets fans were obviously angry.
It is a little confusing to me. I mean, from the outside looking in. I mean, it's hard to get into somebody's mindset. It's hard to get into somebody's frame of mind. You know, maybe part of it is, you know, you see a team draft a receiver early, you know, after you've been drafted in the second round, you instantly sort of get your guard up. Part of it might be frustration of usage, you know, and I know there's been talk recently about moving him and Wilson around a little bit, put them in different roles where they might be a little bit more comfortable, try to get both guys sort of on the field and, you know, maximize what they can do at the same time. So, you know, maybe this does get sort of sorted out, but I loved Moore coming out, you know, and Moore plus what you guys did this offseason was the reason why I was like, you know, as a Patriots fan, I'm worried about Buffalo, obviously, this year, and I'm worried about Miami this year as well with Tyreek, but the next 3 or 4 years, I'm really worried about New York because of everything they've added. Seems like, you know, the Jets are obviously 5-2 ahead of the schedule. But yeah, I mean, it was surprising to me to see that sort of go down, you know, as somebody that, like I said, was a fan of him coming out and expects him to be a very good NFL wide receiver. I hope it gets sorted out. I mean, if not, and you know, he's looking for a new home, it wouldn't pain me to see him in sort of red and silver and blue. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing that at all.
Get 200 targets out of the slot.
Yeah, exactly. Just put him in the slot and just run option routes all day long. But no, I mean, he's a great talent, great wide receiver. It was confusing me, but hopefully it gets sorted out for him.
Yeah, I think we'll see this week, you know, between him working in the slot more.
Yeah.
And just it's gonna, you know, the Jets know it's hard to get cheap, good homegrown talent. And
yeah.
When you know you have a good player, look, it's been talked about. I think Tom Pelissero reported or Mike Garofalo, I can't remember if it was a joint report, whatever. He got the highest grade of a character guy of anyone they had coming out of the draft. And, you know, sometimes agents are great and sometimes they're not great for you. And it just feels like one of those who you're surrounded by and who's in your ear all
who's
the time.
Who's giving you advice?
Who's giving you advice? If he was looking to get paid this offseason, I would say I get it. He can't even get paid for like another two offseasons. Right. That's why I think everyone was a little confused. Injuries are going to play a factor in this game. Obviously, we know the Jets injuries that are, you know, these guys are out for the year. I don't want to get into much of Breece Hall and Elijah Vera Tucker. It's a sad subject. And, you know, they're two guys that probably were on pace to be all pro level players this year. They're both 21 and 22 years old. They'll be back. The ones that are we'll see this week and we'll know obviously today, Corey Davis in the Jets side, I would be surprised if he plays. It feels like a day-to-day that's really a two-week injury, and he'll be back after the bye. Don't quote me on that, but that's what I feel like. The Patriots ones are big, and I think no one's really talking about it. David Andrews is – I would be shocked if he plays. That was a brutal hit, and it's a huge advantage for the Jets. Like, I don't think anyone's trying to – Quinnen Williams is playing at a level that's ridiculous already. If he's going to get to go against a backup center and a rookie – as much as I love Cole Strange, friend of the podcast, like that's not a great matchup.
Nope.
The other two that are also really important, Christian Barmore, we'll see. I feel like he'll end up playing, but I don't know. And then Kyle Duggar is the big one for me. I just think for whatever reason, the Jets have never figured out how to like handle a Patriots like safety slash linebacker that's kind of doing both. They always have huge impacts in the games. Patrick Chung back in the day used to do it all the time, and just, the list goes on and on. Do you think those guys play? Like, what's the update there? Because I think they're pretty important players.
Yeah, all three are hugely important players. Like you said, I'd be stunned if Andrews goes. I mean, that was a big hit, you know, in the sort of environment that we're seeing right now with concussions, with head injuries, like, you know, it would really surprise me. I would be stunned if he goes. I'd imagine he's out this week. Barmore is going to be interesting. He's been a kind of a big piece or there's past, you know, season and a half now. I'd be surprised if he goes with a knee. I mean, DNPs the past 2 days, typically when you see that from New England on a Thursday DNP, like, that's never a good sign. Same thing with Duggar, you know, an ankle injury, Thursday DNP, Wednesday DNP. He's been in and out of the lineup anyway. They'll probably have to sort of sit him down. Maybe they try to let him go. You know, we'll probably, like you said, we'll know more. We're doing this on Friday morning. We'll know more Friday afternoon from these guys. But all three guys, I think it's highly – I think it's impossible you see all three because Andrews is probably out. And it's highly unlikely you see the other two. And, you know, New England does a lot with multiple safety packages. They trust Kyle Duggar to do a lot of different things. They trust him playing high. They trust him playing low. They trust him playing down in the box underneath. They trust him as that sort of hybrid safety linebacker. And to not have him, that's going to be a loss. Yeah, they've got Peppers and some other guys that they can get in. But, you know, it's going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue for them. Now, they have Matthew Judon and Dedrick Wise, who have been great off the edge. We saw Judon get pressures and some, you know, more sacks on Monday night too. But they're thin right now at a couple of different spots. And having Duggar and Barmore particularly out on the defensive side is going to hurt them.
Yeah, the Judon thing is going to be – look, he's – I think objectively their best player, either side of the ball, the biggest name, best player, whatever you want to call it. The only thing I will say is if you're the Jets, I would run at Matt Judon over and over and over again, because you got, and I know people always get scared of this. Like, oh, why would you run an Aaron Donald? Well, for every one play he's going to make, the amount of effort it takes, the run game is awful for defensive linemen.
Yeah.
So I would run it. I would run at Matt Judon over and over again because you can't let him wreck the game. He's the one player. I feel like he's 8.5 sacks through 7 games. Like, you know, this is not a, you know,
especially let's not forget. We were just talking about Zach Wilson's pressure splits, right? Like if you've got an opportunity to sort of wear Judon down a bit, like run at him. So when it's 3rd and 7 midway through the third quarter and you need a third down and you got to put it up, he's a little bit winded. He's a little bit worn down. Like, I know we use the sort of body blows, right? Like talking about running the football and wearing down a defensive line, but you're also wearing down pass rushers. So I think that matters too. So yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah, no, I think that's been the Jets kind of MO all year is like, I know it's cheesy and a lot of people hate it early in the year, but the 60% thing, like they're the best fourth quarter team in football right now. And it's part of why they've had the success they've had so far.
Yeah.
Want to hit on two other quick things before we kind of get what we think is going to happen Sunday. The bulletin board material thing, Bill never gives anything. Obviously, everyone knows that. I actually think it's really concerning when he starts talking in depth about one of your players.
Yeah,
I think CJ Mosley's having a really nice year and is still a really good player, but I didn't love Bill talking about him for 2.5 minutes because that means he's probably saying that's the guy we're going to go at.
Yeah.
If you know, he talked about Justin Fields for like 7 straight minutes. He used to rave about Darnold and Gase and all these. Like, that's his way of saying, like, these are the guys we've been studying because we want to take advantage. The Jets side, they've, you know, publicly not said a lot, but Ulbrich's press conference yesterday kind of said all that you need to hear. I've never seen Robert Saleh as like red hot as he was after the game, and he should have been. And the Patriots should have run up the score because the Jets couldn't stop them. And that's, you know, I'm not saying they should have, but like that's Bill. He hates the Jets, and like no one should have expected any different. Doesn't mean you have to like it, but stop them next time, right? That's the way football works. You know, people used to hate when Cam did the Superman celebration. Well, stop them. Yeah. But we know the score. We know how many points they were up, all that stuff. Do you think the Patriots are going to feel that energy of like, we're going to get the Jets' best shot, or they're like, we own the Jets. We literally don't care.
No, I feel like it's the former, that they know that they're going to get the Jets' best shot. And look, I'm sure Bill has been in that locker room saying, you know, look where they are. Look where we are. We're coming off a loss to a team that I talked for what, over 1,000 words on how good that Bears team was, which, like you said, Will, is kind of the indicator that, oh man, he thinks we've got something here. And they get blown out on Monday night. And like you said, this was their stretch, right? Because you come off the 1-3 start. Then you've got, Detroit, Cleveland, Chicago. Like, those are three games you got to win. And they won two, but they lost one to Chicago on a national night, on a national audience, and now they're facing a ton of questions. So I'm sure Bill is saying, look, we're down on the mat. They want to knock us out. They want to end our season now. I'm sure that he is in their ears right now. Like, they're going to do everything they can after what has happened last year, after what has happened between these two teams for the past decades. They want to end your season, and they're going to give it to you. And so I think that's the mindset that he's going to put in their minds. Anything else, I think, would be almost insane. Like, this is a team that's 5-2. This is a defense that, look, Sauce Gardner is one of the best corners in the league already. And yes, I'm in part confirming some priors here, my friend, because I loved him coming out, but he looks fantastic. That defense is a problem. And, if you go into this game Sunday, you go into that stadium Sunday, and you think, oh, it's just the Jets, your season's going to be over. So I'm sure that's the mindset Bill is playing with.
It's weird because this is my next question of, like, who's this game matter to more? I think for the Patriots, the season, I know people, Patriots fans, have listened to a bunch of radio in Boston this week just because I like to kind of see the pulse of everything and talk about it. But everyone's like, season's over if we lose Sunday. I don't necessarily agree. I think the division, which is already probably over for everybody, but it's definitely over for them. If you look at the Patriots, though, next week, the Colts are not very good. They should beat the Colts. Bill is going to have Sam Ellinger in hell. And then they have the Jets. They have a bye, right? And then the Jets
bye.
So I think the Patriots are like, we need to go 2-1 here minimum. If they lose to the Jets on Sunday and then lose again in Foxborough, I think you're going, all right, we're already at six, seven losses here. We're probably cooked. But if you're, 5-6 or 6-5, with the way the AFC's been, it kind of feels like there's five or six good teams and everyone's kind of fighting for seventh. They still have Miami again, so you'll have that tiebreaker. But for the Jets, 5-2, moment, everything's good. You got a couple body blows with, kind of dick punches with Breece and AVT going out. But you get James Robinson in here, you probably get another offensive lineman in before the deadline, if not anything else. If you win here, you're 6-2. You got Buffalo coming in for somehow it'll be the battle for the number one seed in the AFC, which through halfway through the season, which again, I'm not sure that building's already sold out, which is crazy for Jets fans to hear. Then you get the bye, you're at New England, Chicago, and then they have this easy stretch where it's like Detroit, Jacksonville. It's pretty favorable for the Jets. I think they have to go forward and they have to win 4 or 5 games to make the playoffs probably. I still think they could probably go 6-4 down the stretch. Is it more important for the Jets because of the history of this rivalry and going, if we get to 6-2 here, we're feeling really good about the playoffs? Or is it more important to the Patriots going 3-4, but like we need all three of these games to kind of reset the season a little bit?
I mean, maybe it's my perspective on it, but I feel, Will, like it's more important for New England, just because, like you said, this was the 3-game stretch. Like, actually, this was the 5-game stretch, really, with Detroit, Cleveland, Chicago, the Jets, and Indianapolis, where you got to go 4-1. Like, you've got to do that. You've got to bank some wins because after the bye, you get the Jets, then Minnesota. You got 2 games in Buffalo. You got a game with Miami again. You got a game against Cincinnati that seems to have figured things out, and that's in week 16, so Chase will probably be back for that one. You got a West Coast win at Arizona, at Las Vegas, which, those teams are struggling, but West Coast wins and things like that, things can happen. You needed to bank some wins, and if you don't, if you're now 3-5 going into that game against Indianapolis, you get to 4-5 before the bye, I don't think you're feeling too good. You get, 5-4 going into the bye. You beat the Jets, you beat Indianapolis. You're probably feeling a little bit better. You get the bye, you get the Jets at home coming out of it. And so you feel a little better where the season is. I mean, for the Jets, look, it's an important game too. I mean, I'm not saying it isn't, because of the history, because of the fact that you're 5-2, because of the fact that you got a chance to maybe not finish off the Patriots, but really put a dent into where they're at. That's something you want to take advantage of as well. Also, it's kind of, I think, big for momentum because, like you said, you've had some tough breaks this week with injuries, and to still get up off the mat and win a game in the aftermath of that, I think will be huge. It'll be huge for Zach Wilson, get a win against Belichick with some of the struggles he's had against Belichick so far in his career. So I think it's big for both teams. I just think, and maybe again, it's my perspective on it, it's bigger for New England.
Yeah, I think like win-loss record-wise, which is really all that matters, it's been bigger for New England. The Jets, you've won 5 out of 6. Like, if you go to 5-3, you go to 5-3. You're not dead. Like you really need to win probably 4 or 5 the rest of the year to get in the playoffs. New England's probably got to get 6 or 7 here. So, you know, you only have so many opportunities. You don't need to give me a score prediction, but what's your kind of gut feeling Friday? I know we don't know exactly the injuries of a couple of these guys. We'll go first Amherst Wesleyan game, what the score is going to be, and then we'll go to Jets Pats, what we think is going to happen.
All right. Well, I mean, I can't come on this show and say that Wesleyan's going to lose. No. Look, little three games, they're always tight. Like, I mean, little three games. I remember some games playing at Amherst, like the crowd, it's always a homecoming game. You know, the crowd's going to be ready to go, you know, walking through the parking lot to the locker room. I had a lot of things said about me, which I can't repeat on air. But no, little three games are awesome. And if anybody listening to this has not had a chance to go to an Amherst Williams Wesleyan, one of these little three games, they're fun. They're a lot of fun to go to. It's you know, good level football too. I mean, I know Division 3, but it's fun. Look, I got to pick Wesleyan. Offense has figured some things out this year. I'm going to say 24-20 Cardinals.
I'm going to go Amherst win 17-10. The Amherst offense is leaving a little bit lacking. Their quarterback is a diehard Patriots fan and floods my mentions. So I'm sure he'll be happy to hear him picking Amherst. I'll start with the Jets Pats. I think this one is going to be, I'm going to go 20-10 Jets here. Very ugly game in terms of the passing game. A lot of running the football, a lot of defensive third down sirens being played over and over again and stuff like that. But I'm going to go Jets win 20-10 and go into this Buffalo game feeling like, I don't know how we're here, but we're 6-2.
Yeah. I mean, I think this has like, you know, rock fight written all over it. I think it'll be a little closer. I kind of feel like 17-13 kind of game. I do think the Jets win. You know, I think they're the better football team right now. Obviously, you talked about listening to Boston Sports Radio now, Will. I mean,
oh boy,
your next week is going to be pretty fun if this is indeed what happens and the Jets win this one. But, you know, I think it'll be kind of an ugly game. Like you said, we've talked about both of these quarterbacks and their numbers when pressured this year. Like, you're going to see a lot of blitz packages. You're going to see a lot of pressure schemes to try to invite some turnovers. And so it will probably be ugly. I do think the Jets win it. I think it's going to be a little bit closer. But, yeah, I'm not feeling great as a Pats fan right now.
It's going to be Corey Davis is out. As we're recording this, Elijah Moore is playing. So
there you go.
I think the upside of Moore, obviously, Corey Davis is a good player, but I think you'd like to see Elijah Moore get in there and get active. Make sure you guys are listening to Mark's or checking out all Mark's stuff at SB Nation. Obviously, I've had him on the show before. It's a great time, obviously. And hopefully the quarterback play improves. So the next time we talk, we can talk about some good stuff, not turnovers and bad footwork.
Absolutely.
Terrible pressure numbers. But appreciate you coming on and good luck to both your teams this weekend.
You too, buddy.
Thank you. See you.